So once again, we turn to the book of Proverbs. Our subject is wisdom, and we are striving to learn what it means to be wise so that we can be competent in the world. So we can be competent with regards to the realities of life. Now, last week, we started looking at the problem of foolishness, and we looked about how what the character of a fool is. What's a foolish person like? And we discovered that really the essence of being a fool is to reject your humanity, to reject how God created you to be, and to live in essence like an animal. We saw how a fool is reactive and not reactionary, as I was corrected afterwards. They react to their environment. They are controlled by what happens to them. They lack insight. A fool doesn't understand what's really going on. A fool is driven by the need to express himself or herself. They lack restraint. We saw that a fool acts in a way that rejects their humanity. At least their humanity as God intended it to be. And in fact, they end up living like an animal, dedicated to pursuing the next thing they want, whether that's pleasure or food or to give vent to their spirit, to let out their emotions. And now today we want to turn to what does it mean like for the consequences of foolishness? What are the outcomes of living like this all the time? What happens when you live like a fool? Well, it has consequences. And so today we're going to look at the consequences of living foolishness. And we can have the first set of proverbs there, please, Anae. So the first thing we see is that a fool's words get them into trouble. There's kind of this communication failure. The ability to communicate well breaks down. And so these are some of the proverbs that speak about this. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool hastens destruction. A fool's lips lead to strife, and his mouth provokes a beating. A fool's mouth is his devastation, and his lips are a trap for his life. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The proud speech of a fool brings a rod of discipline, but the lips of the wise protect them. And so these are all ways in which a fool and the way they use words bring destruction to their life. They kind of fail at expressing things that are helpful to them in life. Again and again, notice that it is precisely because the fool acts like an animal that they cause harm to themselves and to others here. The mouth of a fool is a problem. His or her words are a problem. Now, a human being is higher than all the other animals, right? In fact, we are the only ones who have been given language to speak with our mouths. Part of our image-bearing nature is the ability to communicate complex and divine thoughts to each other, to large groups of people, to God. There are some animals, it's true, that have some form of communication, you know, through sounds, through colors, etc. But human beings are really the only ones who can express our image-bearing nature through words, through poetry, through song. But a fool does not use their words to do these higher things. Their words break down, they tear down, they destroy. And it's often precisely because a fool is careless with their words that they cause issues. Wisdom is missing when a fool speaks. Proverbs 10:14, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool hastens destruction. The fool doesn't have any restraints. He speaks not to build or to order as he or she was created to do, but they don't smooth over bad situations with their words. They use their words, and as they do so, it creates destruction. So how do you know if you've been foolish with your words? Well, Proverbs actually says, just look at the results. Do your words build up? Do they construct things? Do they order things as you were created to be? Or do the words you use destroy or demolish or hasten destruction, as the proverb says? But a fool doesn't just destroy other people. The fool's mouth destroys himself. A fool's lips lead to strife, and his mouth provokes a beating. The words of a fool invite a beating. It causes violence to the full. Why? Well, again, it is precisely because, unlike a wise person, a fool does not treasure wisdom. They don't use their words wisely. He sees himself not so much as a tool to fulfill God's given purpose, but rather as a tool to express themselves. That's why his lips are, as per 18 verse 7, a trap for his life. The fool thinks to themselves and says, I must express my opinion. My knowledge and wisdom should be proclaimed to all around me. But as Proverbs reminds us, that even a fool is considered wise when they keep silent. Which makes the job of a preacher a little bit interesting. The truth of the matter is, human beings aren't given words to proclaim our own glory, to proclaim our own wisdom, our own rightness. Our words are given actually so that we can proclaim the glories of God, right? That we can make His wisdom known. To be able to speak is human, yes, but to be able to speak wisely is divine. It reflects our image-bearing nature. And so when we use our words to break down and destroy and demolish, well, we're actually just rejecting the God-given gift of language that God has given us, the ability to communicate as image-bearers of God. And so the fool ultimately fails the communication test and breaks down things with their words. The first consequence is that their communication fails. But the second thing that happens to fools is that their relationships also fail. Thanks, Inay. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. The one who fathers a fool grieves, and the father of a fool has no joy. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a wife's nagging is an endless dripping. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth at a meeting. So not only do fools fail at communicating, they actually fail at relationships. Even some of the most important relationships they have in life. Now, Proverbs gives us a really vivid picture of the relational life of a fool. They're lonely, they're estranged from their family, they hurt the people around them, and they're unpleasant to be around. So people avoid them. The final thing is they don't get to move up in the world. The last proverb there, wisdom is too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth in a meeting. The meeting space there is the place where people come to hear wisdom, to debate, the law courts and so on. And so a fool doesn't get to move up in the world. They don't get to use their words to really ultimately do good. And so the individual relationships of a fool is broken, their communal relationships are broken, and kind of their corporate, if you like, societal relationships are broken too. The individual relationship of a fool is broken because they hurt those that are closest to them because of the way they use words and because of the way they live their lives. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish one brings grief to his mother. The one who fathers a fool grieves. The father of a fool has no joy. The first and most fundamental relationship we have in this world is with our parents, right? They are the first people to love us. They're the first people that we love. The father-mother relationship with the child is one on which all other relationships in life hang on. It's the one that builds up all of our society. It's for this reason that so much of our therapy and our psychology is built on the dysfunctional relationship we might have with our parents. And so when you go to a therapist, they will often talk to you about what happened in your childhood. It's because of this. Your fundamental relationship with your parents massively affects how you live your life. I mean, the Bible reflects this too, right? When you think of the Ten Commandments, there are these two sort of tablets of the law. The first four have to do with our relationship with God. So Commandments 1 through 4 are all about how we should relate with God. God should be your only God. You should not have idols and bow down and worship to them. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Those all have to do with how we relate to God. But then when we move to the second tablet of the law, they all have to do with how we relate with one another. And the very first one, the primary one, has to do with how we relate with our parents. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The fool breaks this command. His actions destroy his relationship, his most fundamental relationship, even with his or her parents. But it's not just those relationships that suffer. The consequences of foolish living extend far beyond to their friendships, their peers, those around them. So it says, a foolish son's is his father's ruin, and a wife's nagging is an endless dripping. Now, this is an odd juxtaposition, okay? It's an odd kind of a proverb between the ruin that a fool brings to his father or his family and the incessant irritation of a nagging wife. Okay, but the point here is not actually about the nagging wife. It's more about how deeply foolishness, folly, corrodes away the relationships around us. It's well known how annoying a dripping tap is, right? There is a reason there is something called drip torture. It drives you nuts. A nagging wife literally drives you nuts. That's not my wife. But it's possible. So what happens? What happens when you hang out with a fool like this? Well, you end up avoiding the fool like you would end up avoiding a dripping tap. Because he brings ruin to all those around him. You stay away from a fool because they drive you nuts. The complaining, the way they use their words, etc. You end up avoiding them because social distance is the thing that saves you and saves your sanity. And so as a natural consequence of that, the distance between you and the foolish friend grows. And because most people will behave like that, the fool ultimately finds themselves alone. And perhaps the best example the Bible gives us of this is the story of the prodigal son, right? The lost son. What happens to him? Well, he despises his father. He brings his father into ruin, just like the proverb says. He essentially says to his father, I wish you were dead, now give me my inheritance. And so he brings financial ruin to bear on his family. And then he runs away, spends all his money on parties, on frivolity, and then once the riches pass away, his so-called friends desert him. Notice how in his foolishness, he does not realize that his friends weren't his friends. His foolishness meant that he spent all his relational capital and all his monetary capital, and in the end, he was bereft of both his finances, his friends, and his family. His foolishness has destroyed those around him and himself. A fool fails at relationships. That is the second consequence. But they also fail, and there's a broader sense in which their foolishness breaks relationships. So it breaks relationships with family, it breaks relationships with those around it, you're so, sort of socially distanced. But it also creates a kind of societal and personal chaos as well. Now, as the basic foundational pillars of the world fall apart, and the fool uses his words foolishly, and he destroys his relationships with his families and friends, he actually also starts to break down personally. His foolishness leads to a personal failure as he or she fails to live out their purpose. So there's a purpose failure as well. Thanks, Inane. Let's read. Now the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. If a wise man goes to court with a fool, there will be ranting and raving, but no resolution. Better for a man to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his foolishness. And the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Look, what Proverbs is saying here is that foolishness is like a stone being dropped in a pond, right? It creates all these ripple effects that the fool can't comprehend would even be a possibility. It starts affecting everything and everyone around the fool. If you are the companion of a fool, you're going to suffer. So choose your friends wisely. That's what Proverbs says. If you entrust an important message to a fool, well, you're self-sabotaging. Relying on a fool to manage your affairs is going to cripple you because the fool doesn't grasp what they're doing. And how many times have you seen a movie or a TV show where some important thing has been given to a foolish person and everything goes wrong because that foolish person doesn't really understand what they're doing? You know, it's the basic fodder for our comedy and for a lot of our drama in movies as well. But the fool also impacts the courtroom. The justice system is destroyed because of the foolishness of fools. There's ranting and raving, but there's no resolution. Sounds a bit like a parliament. Proverbs tells us to avoid fools because they are more dangerous and more vicious and ferocious than a bear rubbed of her cubs. Foolishness, friends, affects everything. Foolishness unravels the world. In a way, when you think about it, foolishness is very similar to sin. Is it not true that sin corrupts you, destroys your relationship with your family, with your closest friends, with your spouse? Is it not true that sin corrupts and destroys and hurts those around you when you partake in it? Like a stone dropped in a pond, there are these ripple effects that you could never have foreseen. Is it not true that when you trust in sin to get you somewhere, you might have a short-term gain, but in the long run, you can see that you are self-sabotaging, destroying the very thing you wanted to have? Is it not true that sin prevents our law courts from giving justice to those who deserve it? That sin corrupts the process of fairness in law and so on, where there is, in fact, ranting and raving and no resolution? Is it not true that that's what foolishness is like? Well, of course it's true. Because foolishness, according to Proverbs, actually is sin. Not because you've made a mistake, but because biblical foolishness is a direct and deliberate rejection of God's wisdom and His commands. The reason foolishness doesn't result in justice is because the fool chooses to perpetuate injustice by choosing morals or making decisions that violate what God has called them to do, violates their basic purpose in life. The reason a fool destroys their relationships with the people around them is because the fool constantly chooses to do things that make others feel like, oh, I'd rather be hanging out with someone else. I don't want to be with the dripping tap guy. A person doesn't choose to engage in foolish behaviors don't have those consequences. And so if you continually choose to say things that make people want to punch you in the face, eventually you're going to get punched in the face, right? Sin and foolishness are the same thing. That's why Proverbs, as we saw last week, opens up with this proverb: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fool despises wisdom and discipline. James says a similar thing in James chapter 4, verse 17. It is sin to know the good thing and yet not to do it, even as we heard in our children's talk this morning. And more broadly speaking, sin is anything that goes against God's design. Sin is the idea of missing the mark. It's an archery term of not hitting the bullseye, right? So any choice we make that leads to destruction or harm to ourselves or others, any action that hurts the community or our relationships is sin. But those are the very same things that are the consequences of foolishness. And so foolishness is sin. And sin is, by its very definition, foolish to engage in. But wait a minute. That means that I am a fool, actually. And that means that you are a fool, actually. Because we all fall short of the glory that God requires of us, right? We are all fools. And we all bear the consequences of our foolish choices. Don't we? Haven't we all done things to hurt people around us? Haven't we done foolish things that cause pain and hurt to others? I know I have. I think you have too. Haven't we all failed to say the things that build up, that uses our divine gift of communication to build other people up? Haven't we all failed at that and instead broken them down and destroyed with our words, participated in the communication failure? Haven't we all failed at our purpose as image bearers that are supposed to bring order and beauty and peace to the world, but instead have engaged in chaos in our own personal lives and social lives? I have, and I think you have too. This is the main message of Proverbs. It's not so much to show us, oh, look, here's wisdom and there's all the foolish people out there. It's to say, here's wisdom and here's the foolish person in here. It shows us that the foolish people are not out there, but the foolish people live in our hearts. And it is only once we realize that, that we can actually start to move away from the kind of worldly foolishness into the divine wisdom that Proverbs give us. Because at the end of the day, our biggest issue is not so much that we make foolish decisions sometimes. Our biggest issue is that our heart is foolish. Our problem is our insides. We are the fool of Psalm 14, verse 1, which says, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do vile deeds. There is no one who does good." That is me, and that is you. And it's only when we realize that, only once we accept that, that we can start to change. And so what's the solution? What is the solution? How do we become wise? How do we stop being foolish in here? Well, of course, the solution is Jesus. Now, all throughout Scripture, wisdom is not just something that we should gain. Wisdom isn't just an attribute that a person has. Wisdom is presented time and time, rather, as a person you can know. Even in Proverbs, wisdom stands out as someone who calls in the marketplace and says, "Come and know me." And when we get to the New Testament, we actually see that the Bible describes Jesus as wisdom embodied. Wisdom of God, the wisdom of God is there as someone we can know and pursue and live and live like. 1 Corinthians 1 tells us in verse 23, "Yet those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Again, in Colossians 2, verse 3, "In him," that is Jesus, "are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You see, friends, when we know Jesus, when we've accepted him as our Lord, when we commit our lives to following him, his very spirit comes and lives within us, and we're transformed at a deep level. The wisdom of God kills the fool that lives in our hearts and brings that fool to life and makes that fool into a more wise and wise person as they follow Jesus. That's why Jesus is the answer to our foolishness. Because at the core, wisdom is not just a lack of knowledge. It is a relational disconnection from God, who is the source of all wisdom. Jesus bridges the gap. He not only teaches us wisdom through his words, but he actually demonstrates wisdom through his actions, ultimately culminating on the death he suffered for us on the cross. And because of that, he allows us to live wisely. He shows us what it's like to use our words to build up. He shows us what it's like to turn the other cheek and not to invite a beating. And he shows us what it means to live for others, even sacrificing himself on the cross for us. And so when we start living like Christ, We are finally living in the way of wisdom. He really is the answer to our foolishness. So that then leaves us with a challenge. Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to be wise and follow in his footsteps? Are we going to live like Christ, sacrificing, doing all the sorts of things that the world tells us is foolishness, but is actually the wisdom of God? Or are we going to choose to live like the world, to pursue the wisdom of the world at the expense of the wisdom of God? Again, the challenge is for us to choose wisely. Let me pray. Lord, we pray that you will bless us with your divine wisdom. We pray that you will enlighten our eyes with understanding, that you will guide our steps as we follow Jesus. May we live lives of righteousness, of right living, of doing what is required. We pray that you will allow us to do these things, Lord, not just because we want to prove ourselves, but actually because we are following you and because you live in our hearts. And for those of us, Lord, who have yet to come to know you on a personal level, we pray that right now you will teach us your wisdom. Introduce us to the wisdom of Christ. Wisdom personified. Wisdom we can know and pursue. And so we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.